Remember I said one of the ways that we could do tax planning was shift income, make somebody else pay the tax? Okay, how do we do that? Well, if you've got children or if you've got parents that you are supporting financially, let's get some of your earned income down to them and make it so they're taxed on it in a lower tax bracket. Now, I said the word earned income. You can't actually shift earned income. We're going to have to change the nature of the tax because only passive income will work for shifting. And illustration of this, there was a big steel plant in the city where I grew up. And I was a young lawyer and I paid notice of this. One of the big financial planners in town went into the steel plant. They got into the union. And they said, hey, look, what we're going to do is we're going to set each one of your employees up with a trust. And then we're going to take your paycheck. We'll have the steel plant pay the paycheck to the trust. And then the trust will distribute that down to the children or the parents or whoever you want to support. And they'll pay the tax on it. No. That was earned income. They did this for a year or two, and the IRS came in and had a heyday. Only passive income. So, let's assume you've got your practice, your dental practice, or you've got your business, whatever it is. You have equipment that you use in that business. I know you do. I'm a lawyer. I got a desk, file cabinet, computer, and a Xerox machine. You've all got equipment. Stuff that you have to have in order to make your money. What you're going to do is you run that through your depreciation, 3 years, 5 years, 2 years, write it off in the first year, I don't care. Once it's depreciated, we can do things with it. Actually, you can do it before it's depreciated, but you want the depreciation. So what you're going to do is you're going to set up a second company, another LLC. It's going to be the family LLC. And each one of the kids or the parents, they're going to be members. They're going to be owners of this LLC. When the equipment is depreciated, you move the equipment over into the second company. Well, you still need your Xerox machine. Even though it's been depreciated, technically it's worth nothing on the books. So we transfer it for very low price to the second company. And since you've still got to have it though, why don't you rent it back from the second company? So you rent the Xerox machine. I mean, you can go rent it from the local office supply store, can't you? Rent it from the second company. Your company, your principal practice or company, then pays the rent. They get a tax deduction for paying the rent. That rent goes to the second company and filters down through the company to the members, stockholders, the people who own the company. It comes through to them on a pass-through, K-1, if it's set up as a general partnership or an S-corporation, and they pay the tax. If they're in a lower tax bracket than you are, then great. The family has just saved money. If the kids are little, keep the distributions or keep what they get down to the $2,800, $3,000 so that they don't even have to file a tax return. You've got three kids. You move $3,000 out, you move $9,000 out of your principal company down to the family, basically tax-free. And by the way, this second company works out to be a great asset protection tool because they can't sue you and get the equipment anymore. You go bankrupt, business goes bankrupt, the equipment's still sitting there next week, you simply rent it again and start doing business. You just protected the way you make your income.
So as you all know, as a former IRS agent, I have a lot of clients across the nation who come to me who are being audited or who have other IRS problems. And one of the issues that I've noticed that's come up quite frequently is that a lot of individuals will have two business entities. One of them will hold the assets and the other one will rent the assets or lease them and use them for the business operations. The problem is many taxpayers, first of all, they don't have a lease agreement in place. And the second issue is they're not actually paying any lease payments to their other entity. So if you have two entities set up where you're renting equipment or anything to the other entity, make sure you have a valid lease agreement and you're actually paying the rents. Now, there's a lot of tax preparers out there who back in the days got wise and they thought, you know what, let's create a way to have passive income. So what they would do is they'd rent equipment to themselves. They'd put equipment in another entity, or they'd put their building in another entity. And then what they would do is they'd pay rent to that other business for borrowing those assets. And then they'd report that income as passive. And in turn, they'd offset that passive income with passive losses. So the IRS added additional regulations and laws to the tax code. And what they've done essentially is they said, if you have a profit from a rental, from a self-rental, that profit is considered non-passive. And if it's a loss, it's going to be passive. So we're going to give you the worst of both sides of that equation. Remember, an active trader business creates non-passive income. Rentals create passive income. So if you have multiple rental properties and those are creating a loss, that loss is passive. You cannot offset non-passive income against passive losses. So if you have a rental property that has a $20,000 loss from the year, and you have a profitable printing company with $100,000 of income during the year, you can't net those two together and lower your taxable income. If you have your business set up in one entity, and if you have your building in a separate entity that you're renting from, if there's a profit when you do the tax return for the other entity of your rental, then that income will be considered active. If there's a loss, the IRS will deem that passive. The reason they do that is it would be very easy if you had a bunch of passive losses that you needed to use up. You could very easily manipulate passive or active income on your self-rental. And so that's why the IRS has implemented those regulations where if it's a loss, it's passive. If it's not a loss, it's active. So it kind of puts a wall up so you can't do that.
Ben's absolutely right. The IRS gets you one way or the other. However, I need to point out that Ben is talking about a situation where you own both companies. In order to do the shifting and have it effective, the second company, the company that owns the equipment, needs to be owned by somebody other than you, the kids, your parents, whoever you are naturally supporting and helping anyway. If they're in a lower tax bracket, then the shifting can work. And by the way, one more thing that we ought to point out is if the owners of the company are old people like parents, the kiddie tax doesn't apply. The kiddie tax is one way that the Congress has decided that they're going to clip the wings of shifting income. Years ago, they started to put into effect laws which said, hey, if the kid makes so much money and he's so old and it's passive income, then we're going to tax that passive income at daddy's rate. In fact, it even goes further than that. We stack that passive income on top of daddy's taxes, and that could shift daddy into a different tax bracket, a higher tax bracket. We basically attribute the income to him. You might notice in the example I said keep the amount to the child very low, and that's like $1,800, $2,000, $2,400, it changes, so you're going to have to look it up each year. As long as you keep the passive income to the child below that amount, then we're okay. The law is actually very unfair, because even if the kid has a paper route, he earns a ton of money, he invests the money, he's then making passive income, right? Well, if he makes over his $2,000, whatever it is, that money will still be taxed at daddy's rate, even though the passive income was earned by the child and not shifted to the child. And by the way, the IRS keeps considering children to be older and older and older. Right now, a 24-year-old could be considered a child for kiddie tax purposes, if all the criteria are met. So you have to look these things up. Shifting, though, is something you ought to work with whenever possible. Now, you might note, if the guy is old, all of the kiddie tax doesn't apply. You can shift as much money to mom and dad in the rest home as you want to. And shifting becomes very effective at that point. Let's go to the next tax tip. The kids are going to like this one. The short story is you're going to pay your kids. If you are filing a Schedule C, that means you have a company, it's a sole proprietorship, or it's an LLC taxed as a sole proprietorship, you're filing a Schedule C. You can pay your children money out of the company that goes to the children, and you don't have to pay any of the social taxes on it, the Social Security, FICA, Medicare, any of that stuff, all right? They do have to pay income tax on it. You get a deduction, of course, in the company, but you don't have to pay, nobody pays any of the social taxes. That's a big deal. You've gotten money to the children, they're in a lower tax bracket. If they are earning the money, they can make as much money as they want, they pay it in their own tax bracket. The catch is you have to pay them a reasonable salary, and it's really hard to pay $3,000 a year to your four-year-old for emptying the trash and sweeping the office out. That doesn't work too well. So how do you get money down to the three-year-old as income? Well, you pay them a royalty. A royalty on what? Well, you have them pose for your internet advertising, and you pay them a royalty for their modeling. Can you see what just happened here? By the way, go down and pay for modeling and see how much it costs. It ain't cheap. So you have your cute little kid or grandchild or whoever pose for your internet advertisements, and then you pay them royalty. It's a neat way to get money out of the company, down to the kids, and if you're paying them like under $6,000 of earned income, they don't even file tax on it, but you get to deduct it from your company. So it works really well. Not big, but hey, 500 here, 1,000 there, it's money, and it adds up.